On her deathbed in 1946, Gertrude Stein turned to her companion of nearly 40 years, Alice B. Toklas, and reportedly asked, "What is the answer?" When Toklas was silent, Stein went on to speak her famous last words, "In that case, what is the question?" In her new book on Stein and Toklas called Two Lives, writer Janet Malcolm discovers still more questions, silences, and some answers about the life that Stein and Toklas shared together. Book critic Maureen Corrigan has a review.
If you want to read a genuinely haunting piece of writing about the limits of language as a means of nailing down truth, read the conclusion of Janet Malcolm's 1995 book on Sylvia Plath and Ted Hughes called The Silent Woman. In the last pages of that book, Malcolm describes her visit to an elderly man who was once Plath's neighbor. She steps into his kitchen and sees rotting food, boxes, papers, garbage, and dust upon dust everywhere. Rather than skedaddle out of this hellhole, Malcolm sees the kitchen as an embodiment of the difficulty anyone faces when trying to write. The doomed effort of selecting out of the jumble of one's memory and imagination just a few telling words. That ending to The Silent Woman is so defeatist, it could have served as Malcolm's own way of giving notice as a writer, biographer, and literary journalist. But self-consciousness about the art of writing isn't a crippling condition for Malcolm. Rather, it's her obsessive subject. Whether she's investigating shenanigans in the Freud archives or techniques of photography or journalistic ethics, she's always also ruminating on the essential conundrum of writing, that by ordering thoughts and impressions into narrative, a writer simultaneously reveals and distorts truth. It's little wonder, then, that Malcolm has finally turned up at the doorstep of Gertrude Stein, the modernist writer whose sentences resist the straitjacket of grammar and whose big baggy books defied editing. Stein's voluminous writings are about as close as we come in canonical American literature to that chaotic kitchen. And so part of the delight of reading Two Lives, Malcolm's provocative book on Stein and her longtime companion, Alice B. Toklas, derives from watching Malcolm, who's such an elegant and precise writer, discover the fun of wallowing in Stein's mess. As always with Malcolm, Two Lives is many books at once, most obviously a slim biography of Stein and Toklas that zeroes in on their life in France during World War II. It's not as though no one has ever before raised the question of how two Jewish lesbians managed to live out the war calmly in a village in Vichy, France. But somehow, most other investigators get distracted by Gertrude's charm in her autobiographical writings about the war, or by the pair's silence. Neither Stein nor Toklas ever publicly acknowledged the fact that they were lesbians or Jews. What Malcolm discovers about the pair's wartime immunity isn't complimentary. Stein had an admirer, Bernard Fay, who was an extreme right-wing Catholic and a collaborator. He was responsible for deporting Jews. Fay, who even had a Gestapo agent as a lover, put in a protective word for Stein and Toklas, and so they were allowed to lie low. That Stein would have had such a friend, Malcolm tells us, is no surprise. She herself was an arch-conservative who hated Roosevelt and the New Deal and supported Franco during the Spanish Civil War. What democratic impulse Stein may have lacked in politics, she had in spades in her writing. Stein was hell-bent on resisting the hierarchy that normal sentence structure imposes. Hence, rose is a rose is a rose is a rose. But are books filled with flat sentences like this worth reading? That's the question that any ordinary, time-challenged human being asks upon confronting Stein. Malcolm endearingly confesses that the only way she managed to read Stein's 900-page 1911 opus, The Making of Americans, was to slice up the novel into sections with a kitchen knife. Here's what she ultimately finds once she stops chopping and starts reading. Stein seems to be transcribing rather than transforming thought as she writes. The alacrity with which she catches her thoughts before they turn into stale, standard expressions may be the most singular of her accomplishments. Her influence on 20th century writing is nebulous. No school of Stein ever came into being. But every writer who lingers over Stein's sentences is apt to feel a little stab of shame over the heedless predictability of his own. Malcolm shouldn't be so indirectly hard on herself. Her sentences and the insights they convey have never been predictable. In Two Lives, Malcolm pays tribute to Stein's canny way with words, while at the same time giving us a Stein who may have been somewhat too conveniently canny in her political dealings.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed Two Lives, Gertrude and Alice, by Janet Malcolm. If you'd like to catch up on interviews you've missed, you can download podcasts of our show by going to our website, freshair.npr.org.